I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, they can pry the truth from my cold, dead hands. Maybe literally. Plus, a citizen initiative to repeal the income tax begins today. And former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, who fled to Seattle for Florida, just published a national op-ed blasting his former city's business climate. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for $5 a month and even less than that right now because we're running a promo in the month of May, 30% off the entire year. So go to patreon.com/undivided, patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback, for your support of this show, for your support of me and my mental health, well-being, and life. Look, you can try to destroy my reputation. You can try to bankrupt my business. You can take my press pass away. You can threaten to come to my home to harm me. You can assault me on the streets. But it will not change one immutable fact. Boys are not girls. Girls are not boys. The genders are not interchangeable. You can also not change the fact that the government will never be able to regulate my speech. The state of Washington will never be able to regulate, silence, or diminish my free speech. So all this noise that's happening right now is for nothing. It might impact me in those fleeting ways. It might cost me a little money to deal with. It might hurt my business a little bit, although we did have one of our largest days in 5 years of new paid subscriptions yesterday, as I'm under attack from the left-wing operatives. So I'm not sure if the goal is to hurt my business, that that's really been successful. As you guys know, you can have the left-wing lunatics come after me in public. You can make me feel unsafe in my own home. You can make me feel unsafe at events. But none of that changes my calculations for how I use this platform as protected by the Constitution of the United States. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm not trying to be self-important. The government has no right to regulate my speech. The government has no right to tell me that your speech has a value and we're going to assign a value to your speech. And if you want to take a position on something politically, if you want to support a candidate for office, now all of a sudden we get to regulate your speech. It's just not going to happen. None of this changes any sort of calculation for me and how I use this platform. And the Constitution says that it can't. So we went through a lot of this yesterday on the show. And all of it is starting to make sense. It's all coming into focus. And as you know, there was once a time when I wasn't a conspiracy theorist. And I don't even think you could call it that anymore. Because all these conspiracies turn out to be true. And then you see all of these tactics reveal themselves over time, and you start to realize, oh, well, it's not a conspiracy at all. They really are using the entire infrastructure of the Democratic Party in Washington State, to include the legacy media, to try to tear me down and try to shut me up. There's literally no other explanation for it. So as you know, I have been very supportive of the citizen initiatives to protect girls' sports and protect parental rights. And I'm on the right side of history. I am in good company with 80% of Americans who don't have some sort of insane woke mind virus that leads them to believe that boys can poof become girls and that it's perfectly fair for them to compete against girls. And oh, poof, once you drop your kids off at the front door of a public school, you don't have a right to know what's happening with them. 80% of Americans agree with me on this issue. And that's what has the small fringe minority so scared of losing this issue, of losing control of your kids, quite literally. And so they're trying to throw everything they have at me. And a lot of it has come down the pipeline in the last couple weeks trying to tie me to controversial figures, tell people where I'm going to be in public so, I don't know, some lunatics will come and kill me or something. Trying to, and fighting us in court as we speak to take my press pass away and say, you're not a journalist. And then this morning at 10 a.m., this group of left-wing political operatives had a press conference and put out a press release essentially saying that I am an unpaid, I don't even know how it's so stupid, it's hard to even manufacture a sentence that makes sense, that essentially I have provided more than $1 million in advertising for Let's Go Washington for free, and that it should amount to an in-kind contribution. So here's the press release that they put out this morning. And oh, did it have my blood boiling. I go between laughing and being angry about it. From a group called Washingtonians for Ethical Government, which of course, as we exposed yesterday, is just a cover for left-wing radicals, so they don't sound so crazy. The headline, Let's Go Washington failed to declare in-kind political advertising valued between $345,000 and $1.25 million from right-wing influencer Brandy Cruz. So their honest-to-God argument is that the support I've given for the initiatives, the times I've appeared on the steps of the state capitol, the times I've come on this show and platformed parents and female athletes who support the initiatives, the times I've gone out and encouraged you, sign these things, let's get them in front of voters, let's get them in front of the legislature. They say all of that has a total value in excess of $1 million. To which I say, that kind of makes me sound like a baller. That you think that my opinions are worth more than $1 million on the free market. And I'll say, you know, it also makes me want to increase our advertising rates. I don't know what advertising rates they were going off of to make that calculation, but I can promise you, we don't charge our advertisers quite that much. I feel like we, you know, have a fair market rate. This is insanity, and of course, it would be laughable, but it's all part of this larger effort targeted at me specifically. They're saying that since on this show, we have paid advertisers, right? We have our wonderful friends at Valentine Roofing, First Mark Insurance, sellwithwest.com. It's a good time just to give them some more recognition, right? They argue that since we accept advertising revenue, as every news outlet essentially in America does, that now I've placed a price on my words. I've placed a price on my endorsement. And so anything I support must now have a price assigned to it. So if I decide that I'm going to support a candidate for office, now I have to assign a price to it. And it is an in-kind contribution that I have to report, or that campaign has to report, to the state of Washington. The same with Let's Go Washington. God forbid I speak up for girls and say, no, they shouldn't have to play against boys. Price assigned to it. They want to assign a price to my speech so they can regulate my speech. That's the idea. So they said in this press release, and they also had a virtual press conference. We'll play an unhinged clip from it momentarily. They said, today, Washingtonians for Ethical Government, a nonprofit campaign and government watchdog organization, filed a complaint with the Washington Public Disclosure Commission concerning violations of the Fair Campaign Practices Act by conservative political action committee Let's Go Washington and right-wing political content creator and advertiser. That's a new label for me. And advertiser, Brandy Cruz. They talk about, you know, political advertising. They say it includes any mass communication used for the purpose of appealing directly or indirectly for votes or for financial or other support or opposition. According to the complaint, there have been at least 159 instances of political advertising by commercial advertiser Brandy Cruz on behalf of Let's Go Washington in support of its two 2026 ballot initiatives. Let's Go Washington also failed to report at least two instances of in-kind contributions in the form of Cruz's appearance at political rallies. Interesting. So again, it's just totally stupid. So they're saying that I no longer have free speech. Their argument is, I no longer have the luxury of free speech. All of my speech has a value to it. And therefore, anything I say has to be regulated by the state of Washington. That is honest to God their argument. And you might be saying, well, Brandy, that doesn't make any sense because the Seattle Times editorial board has opinions. Every radio host in the city that does advertisements or endorsements, they give political opinions, but they're only focused on me. Isn't that strange? They're only focused on me. I could list several of my friends who have appeared at Let's Go Washington events, who also do endorsements, and who aren't being attacked by Washingtonians for Ethical Government, which is just a left-wing cabal. And so if the media was honest, the legacy media, if they were honest, they would look at this and they would be absolutely terrified. Absolutely terrified. Because they would say, wait a second, can we no longer do editorials? Can we no longer, as the state of Washington, the government telling us we can no longer have opinions without it being a contribution to a political campaign? But of course, much of the legacy media is absolutely jumping at this. They love it. Can you go to that Seattle Times article quick, Nicole? Seattle Times reached out to me yesterday for comment. And I told them, I said, look, you're just getting used. You're getting used because this isn't about they know this complaint won't be successful. They just want to hurt my reputation. And they want to use you as a tool to do it. So this Ryan Wynn put out an article today, this morning. Seven paragraphs it took for him to say that we deny the allegations. Wrote seven paragraphs about what they're saying Let's Go did and what I did. Seven paragraphs until I say, I haven't been given a cent. And this is my First Amendment right, as the Washington State Supreme Court already ruled back in 2007. That endorsements from radio hosts or talk show hosts are not campaign contributions. What are the other things missing? And I've already reached back out to the Seattle Times. They don't explain who Washingtonians for Ethical Government is. Nicole, I'm sorry, I'm going out of order here, but can you pull out their website? Washingtonians for Ethical Government. This is an entity that doesn't care about ethical government. This is an entity that exists to go after conservatives and to accuse conservatives of acting unethically. And they don't post anything until they have some sort of reason and they want to use their platform and prop up these complaints in a way that sounds nonpartisan. Before they did this thing on me this morning, they hadn't posted anything since 2024. And before that, it was all about Tim Iman, going after Tim Iman over and over and over again, not to mention powerhouse strategists, the entity that hosted the press conference this morning is the Democrat strategist firm that is running the anti-initiative campaign. They are strategists for progressive causes. They've helped to defeat previous Let's Go Washington initiatives. They put all of this together. Their employee was on all the emails to the press. Do you think the Seattle Times mentioned that? No. The Seattle Times didn't mention that this watchdog group, which it really just laid out there for readers as a nonpartisan looking for ethics in government, didn't mention, only concerned about watchdog and Republicans, and didn't mention that pulling the strings was Powerhouse Strategies, which is running the campaign opposed to the initiatives. And I asked the Seattle Times, is this what passes for journalism? Don't you think those are two very relevant points in terms of who the messenger is here? So that's why I say this whole cabal that's trying to strip me of my First Amendment rights, it includes the legacy media, which the media should be defending First Amendment rights at all costs. So one other interesting point to what happened today. The woman who was speaking at the press conference this morning on behalf of this organization is a woman named Pam Stewart. It turns out Pam Stewart is a sitting Sammamish, Washington city councilwoman. I think we have her picture here. Pam Stewart. So she was quoted extensively in this press release they put out, saying, I'm personally outraged at the hateful language, falsehoods, and tactics Cruz and Let's Go Washington use to push these initiatives. They accuse the group of breaking the law. They say I'm instigating distrust in government. Pam says, lying, she's now defamed me and slandered me. So Pam, I already put you on a legal notice yesterday. So I think you know what's coming next, Pam. Gird your loins. But she tells repeated lies. More than 150 times, Cruz provided political advertising. I didn't provide political advertising. I provided my opinion. You're calling it political advertising. And she lies and she lies and she lies and she lies. She's a sitting Sammamish city councilwoman who is trying to use lawfare and intimidation to cool my free speech. So I mentioned there was a press conference this morning. We tried to sign up for it. They put out a press release. Oh, attend the virtual press conference with a Zoom link. Do you think they let us in? No, they kept us in the waiting room. You know who else they kept in the waiting room? Ari Hoffman of KVI. Wouldn't let him into the meeting. So we had to rely on other individuals who were let into the meeting to tell us what happened and to send us a recording of the meeting. So let's see, there was a, I will say, there was a lot of pushback during the meeting. I'm not sure it went exactly how they expected it to go, but I pulled this clip of Carlene Johnson of the Center Square. This should, again, this should scare the hell out of every member of the press.
She can go and endorse something or speak against it or whatever, right? That doesn't mean that she's getting paid by Let's Go Washington. So if you're asserting that she is, I mean, that's a, you know, you got to have proof of that, or it would seem to be pretty defamatory. Sure. Allegation.
Well, I think there's a fundamental principle in that Ms. Cruz is no longer a journalist. Huh. She is now a paid online influencer. And that assertion is supported by both the state and federal courts when she was denied press credentials. So she now makes her living through online influencing. She's not considered a journalist anymore.
Now you get the game. Now you get the game and how it's all intertwined. She uses the state of Washington's decision to strip my press pass and a federal judge that denied our request for a temporary injunction in the final days of the session to relinquish those press passes. She uses those decisions to say, well, I'm not guaranteed these First Amendment rights because the courts have decided, which they haven't, by the way, the case is very much ongoing. So she lies again. But you don't think that this was all a collaboration? And I've said a million times that I don't use the label journalist anymore. And they're so obtuse in the way that they frame that. They've actually put that in court documents. Even she says she's not a journalist. I'm a political commentator. I'm a reporter. I'm doing the responsible thing by telling people and not using a label that denotes that I have no political opinion. But the press is robust. The press includes all of these things. It's one big umbrella. It's the bloggers. It's the editorialists. It's the newspaper reporters. It's the radio hosts and radio reporters. It's the TV reporters. It's the YouTubers. It's anyone engaged in the dissemination of information, news and information. That's all I do. We do it for more than 4 hours a week live. We cover Washington state politics. I'm a member of the press. You want to use the phrase journalist to try to exclude me. But our First Amendment and the free press protections were meant for a press that was opinionated, far closer to what I do now than what the Seattle Times does or the TV stations do. So can you play the clip again? You have Carlene saying, like, look, she can have opinions. Are you really suggesting she can't have opinions? The answer is terrifying.
She can go and endorse something or speak against it or whatever, right? That doesn't mean that she's getting paid by Let's Go Washington. So if you're asserting that she is, I mean, that's a, you know, you got to have proof of that, or it would seem to be pretty defamatory allegation.
Well, I think there's a fundamental principle in that Ms. Cruz is no longer a journalist. Hmm. She is now a paid online influencer. And that assertion is supported by both the state and federal courts when she was denied press credentials. So she now makes her living through online influencing. She's not considered a journalist anymore.
Yeah, and state courts never denied me a press pass. So again, just a lie. But who is this woman to say you're not a journalist anymore? You're not a member of the press. You don't have First Amendment protections. I'm a paid online influencer. My revenue streams, how we run this business and this show, are the exact same, no difference whatsoever, as the Seattle Times. We have the exact same revenue streams, paid subscriptions, advertising. That's it. Paid subscriptions, advertising. We don't have some top secret funding mechanism. We don't get some sort of dark money funneled to me so I give the proper opinions. Paid subscriptions from you, advertising. Like 99.9% of newsrooms in operation in America. But I am a paid online influencer, and they are journalists. I don't get First Amendment protections, according to Democrats. But they, of course, do. What's the difference? What's the only difference? Who I choose to use my speech to hold accountable. That's the only difference. And if they think again for 1 second, what's the point of all of it? First of all, Pam Stewart, with your ugly glasses and your horrible haircut, I am going to come after you for everything you own. Every cent you have to your name. And powerhouse strategists, same thing. You were warned. I gave you 24 hours. I gave you a warning, cited applicable case law, and you chose to move forward anyway. I will come after you for literally everything you have, even if it costs me every cent I have. So buckle up, Pammy. Buckle up, because life's going to come at you really fast. And to top it all off, not only will you not cool my speech, I will now commit to doing far more than I intended to get the initiatives across the finish line. And you know what? Great, I might even dedicate a segment on the show every day to updating all of you on where the initiatives are and to having guests on about the initiatives. Initiative watch. And not only will we have the initiative to protect girls' sports and the initiative to restore parental rights, but today we have a brand new one. Because as we were dealing with this utter nonsense, Let's Go Washington was having a press conference. What is it now? 160 in-kind contributions? 161! Let's Go Washington had a press conference this morning announcing starting today, they are collecting signatures to repeal the income tax.
We will be collecting these signatures starting today. We've got to get about 400,000 signatures roughly by July 2nd. We are extremely confident that we'll be able to do this. We, if you'll remember back when we did when we prevented the natural gas ban, we got 540,000 signatures in about 48 days. And we've got 51 days starting today to do this. So I'm very confident that this will be qualified and it'll be on the ballot.
Yeah, they got their final ballot approval. So they're going to start printing. You can even go online, letsgowa.com. 162. Let's go WA. 163, baby. Letsgowa.com, all for free. How generous am I providing this opinion for free? And you can go on there and you can order sheets on their website right there. It's going to be IP26-645 right on the website. They had some individuals speak at the press conference this morning, including somebody you'll be familiar with, Jesse Proudman. He's the Venice.ai chief technology officer, I believe is his official title. But he's been a job creator in Washington State. He's been an entrepreneur in Washington State. He was on our show saying, we're not going to stay here if this millionaire's tax, quote unquote, income tax becomes law. Here's what he had to say.
It's clear they're building a structure to tax ultimately everybody in the state. And Jamie Peterson has made that clear, that that is his intent and that this is a starting place. And so sort of all of these things in my mind really have made this an unfriendly and unfortunate place to do business. The entrepreneurial community that I'm a part of, that community has realized that and they're leaving. And so when they say there is not capital flight, I don't know where they have stuck their head in the sand, but everybody I know is looking at alternatives to either move their business or move their personal residence out of the state. I've been at events, multiple events over the last couple of weeks with other entrepreneurial founders, some of which who have actually now sold their houses and or listed their houses and are on their way out.
Again, that's Jesse Proudman. He's an AI entrepreneur, and he was at the Let's Go Washington press conference this morning, 164. Also at the Let's Go Washington, 165 press conference this morning was Viet Nguyen. He's a technology communications executive.
We need to elect people who will keep their word and not go back and rewrite whatever it is that they promised just 2 years earlier. So for me, it's not about whether or not you like millionaires. It's not about a 9% tax that most of us will never pay. This is about whether people who run this state will honor their word to the voters who sent them there in the first place. And so we already saw initiative 2111 already gave us this answer. Now it's our turn to give the legislature one.
Yeah. And if you thought that they're using dirty tactics to go after people who support the initiative on girl sports and parental rights, you just wait. I mean, they're going to lose their ever-loving minds on this. Oh my gosh, get rid of the income tax on the horrible rich people that's going to fund all their unions and all this stuff. They're going to lose their minds. They're going to start to kill people. I mean, honestly, they're going to start to kill people because they've used every other tactic and it's not working to shut people up anymore. I mean, they're in full-blown panic mode, right? So what do you do? Well, I would say go to letsgowashington.com, letsgowa.com. Find out where you can sign, how you can get them sent to you. You can plug in your address. I think, Nicole, we should host maybe the first Let's Go Washington anti-initiative or anti-income tax signing.
I agree. Let's do it.
Okay. Ian, yeah, I think we should do that. I think we should sign. We should, we'll reach out to Let's Go Washington today. And we'll offer to host the very first super signing event, as they call them. And we'll make it yet another use of my First Amendment rights. Protected political speech. I'm fired up. I thought maybe I'd have a life this summer. No life for me. No life for me. We've got evil to contend with. We've got evil forces to fight back against. And we'll do it with the best weapon possible. The truth. We'll do it with the truth. All right. We'll talk more about the economic climate in Washington State coming up next. First, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Wonderful advertisers on this fantastic show of ours for the last three or so years. And they've been just fighting back against bad housing policy in the state of Washington for quite some time. And they can also help you on an individual basis, rhawa.org, screening, forms you need, things like that. They got events all across the state of Washington. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right, what's happening in the business climate in Washington State? Look, I mean, I think we can look at Seattle and get like a taste of what the rest of the state is going to be dealing with soon once the income tax, if it's not repealed, if it ends up taking effect, because Seattle has been targeting success, jobs, entrepreneurs with sort of punishing taxation for some time. And they're seeing the results of it already. They have been for several years. There are more jobs leaving by the day. I think the question I have is, when is the business community going to grow a spine? When is the business community, the people who are still here, who are tethered here, who have been here, so many of them, it's crazy to watch them sort of try to continue to placate the left as if like, oh, we'll be a little nice to them and maybe they won't come after us again. Now, one of those entities I've been critical of is the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce. And their past leader was making donations to people like Governor Bob Ferguson's campaign. And then he turns around and what does he do? He passes the largest tax increase in state history into law. So on Sundays with Subscribers, I had on the show the new head of the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce to talk about this very issue. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. So the new head of the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce is Joe Wynn. Familiar face on the show, I would say a friend of the show. Joe was a very progressive Washington State Senator. Very pro-tax. And then he was appointed as the head of the Department of Commerce by Governor Bob Ferguson. But he left that job pretty quick. I think once he saw how the sausage is made and how much taxpayer money they waste, I think he was like, wow, this is really bad. So his mindset has started to shift a little bit over time. And then he was appointed the head of the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, which I thought was crazy because it's like he's been in his policies and his votes. I mean, his name was on the law to tax capital gains. He was one of the main drivers of the tax on capital gains. And then they put him in charge of the business community in Seattle. It just was weird to me. But it's clear, based on our conversation, at least in part, that Joe Wynn has had some changes of heart when it comes to how Democrats, his fellow Democrats, are treating the business community.
One of the very glaring issues that I see right now is the disconnect between the business community and the political community.
Yeah.
I actually see that as part of the core problem that we're facing. And you see it, right? You see it in a lot of the commentary that I've seen from my colleagues of, oh, people aren't going to leave. They're not going to leave, right? Or the commentary that you brought up that the mayor had. Objectively, that's false.
Correct.
I know personally people who've left, right? And I know personally who they're using as their tax attorneys and whatever to go. And the part that gives me the most pause is, first off, that's just not us. Like, that's not our values in Washington State. That's not our values in Seattle to tell people to leave. But the other part too is, if you look at the way the tax policies are done, there's a more pragmatic and fundamental reason why I think it's the problem. So there's one thing to say, tax the rich, and you think of this nebulous rich. You know, the city of Seattle kind of has done that, where if you look at Jumpstart, if you look at B&O, if you look at social housing, of all the people and the businesses in this city, 100% of the budget growth since 2020, since Jumpstart, is on basically payroll, right?
Yeah.
So there's over 50,000 businesses in Seattle. About 500 have some obligation under the payroll tax. Only about 10 really pay it, and really it's just one, and we know who that is, right? So even if the vast majority of people and their businesses stay, right? Like, even if 90% of the people in the businesses stay, even 0.01%, that would devastate the budget. So even a more practical perspective, you know, it's not great that it happened. She's new. I give her some grace. I hope she learns from it. But the way that we've structured our tax code, unfortunately, has highly concentrated our revenue streams into largely one company and a handful of companies. And I think that is a problem, right? So we need to diversify. But part of it too is that it just, I don't know. My reaction is that I'm, as you know, the son of refugees. We're very lucky to be here in Washington State. We're very lucky to be here in Seattle. And we were welcomed in open arms. And I think in our greatest times of need, we were able to get a community that supported us. And a lot of that is because we had access to opportunities. We had a billiards hall, a small business. My sister worked at Boeing. I worked at Microsoft. My brother is a physician now, right? So it's like, why vilify the people trying to help provide the opportunities that my family also benefited from? And that's where I want us to stop and kind of pause a little bit. I can't control my friends in the legislature. I couldn't control them back then. I'm not going to control them now, right? So my point is, how do I ensure that we have long-term viability and long-term, at the minimum, trust to have more thoughtful conversations, which we're not really happening right now.
Now, I appreciate him saying some of that, but if you watch the interview on Sundays with subscribers, I was also pretty hard on Joe. And you could probably see my face like, okay, Joe. I mean, I've known him for a long time. There's a lot of political speak in there. A real failure to commit to condemning things like Katie Wilson waving bye to wealth. He also said the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce will not take a position on the income tax, which is crazy. Because the income tax on quote-unquote millionaires, the people who are going to be impacted by that the most are not the mega rich. They'll find a way to leave or to hide their wealth or whatever it is, or redomicile. It's going to be the businesses, the small businesses with pass-through income. Where, and it's crazy because it is complicated, but there's people who just fundamentally misunderstand this, that if you're running a business like a roofing company, for instance, you have so much overhead. You've got all these employees. And so you might be bringing in, and you might have in your bank account more than $1 million, but you need it there for a couple months of operating costs in case an emergency pops up. The owner of the business isn't emptying their bank account to zero every year, but you'd be taxed as a millionaire. So it is inexcusable to me that the business community in Seattle will not take a position on the income tax that will put some of their members out of business. And I've said this a million times, and at some point I got to make good on it. Why am I defending the business community more than they're willing to defend themselves? And it seems to be really the only people who flee who then find the bravery to say something about it. It's like, oh, well, I'm gone now, like Howard Schultz. So Starbucks continues to shed jobs in Seattle. You already know they're moving like Well, they're opening up a second HQ in Tennessee. They're moving some of the jobs there. The Washington State Employment Security Department, they just announced 61 layoffs from that HQ location. So some people aren't moving. They're just straight up losing their jobs. There have been Starbucks closing all over the place. And Howard Schultz, as you know, the former CEO and founder, he moved to Florida with Jeff Bezos. And now he finds the bravery. Good for you, Howard. Good for you. He pens an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. Seattle turns hostile to the great businesses it made. Okay. The time, look, I'm fine. I mean, I agree with everything that he says in here. I'm glad he didn't just go to sunny Florida and just shut his mouth. But he voted for a lot of this. He supported a lot of this. It is support to stay silent. And I feel the same way about Jeff Bezos, for the record. They just would try to placate. You can't placate crazy people. You can't placate people who fundamentally hate you, who vilify you. So why are you trying? So anyway, in this article, he talks about Washington State being his home for four decades, talking about building Starbucks into a company known around the world, how the culture of the Pacific Northwest shaped his business. He says, I am no longer a resident of Washington. My decision to leave had much to do with family choices and my stage in life. Still, I feel a responsibility to speak up about the business and job climate in a city and state that gave me so many opportunities. Again, thank you. However, would have been great if you did that while you were still here. He goes on to say, the ecosystem that helped build Starbucks is fractured today. Seattle and much of Washington face serious problems, chronic homelessness, disorder in core business districts, persistent budget deficits, declining public school outcomes, and a slowing technology hiring cycle. These challenges aren't unique to the state, but Washington's response to them is. Seattle's Mayor Katie Wilson has chosen to cast business as a foil rather than a partner. Her socialist rhetoric vilifies employers, even while she continues to rely on them for revenue. She has encouraged residents who disagree with her policies to leave. He says in the state capitol, the legislature and governor have confronted difficult fiscal trade-offs by emphasizing taxation rather than reform or performance management. The theory appears to be that prosperity can be mandated through redistribution rather than generated through growth. But Howard, this is not new. It's not new. And look, I've heard really great things about Howard as a person. And I think that he was starting to wake up. I mean, remember when he was like floating a presidential bid as an independent and kind of people because of the Sonics and they're mad, they like wouldn't bite and he was being vilified or whatever it is. So I think his probably personal beliefs are in the right place. But when you have that much power and influence and yes, money, where were you when we needed you? Where were you when before things got this bad? And the business community has long hesitated to pour money into campaigns because when they do, they're vilified as corporate PAC spending. But the press doesn't vilify the unions. The unions can dump as much money as they want into the political campaigns, and that's perfectly fine because that's from the working people. But businesses, they, God forbid, they donate money to campaigns to look out for their interests and their ability to continue to operate and provide jobs to people and help the city. I mean, and then Starbucks, good Lord, good grief, good grief. They're still helping Mayor Wilson. Didn't they just give money to her tiny house initiative? After one of her first acts upon being elected mayor was to have a protest outside of Starbucks where she told people, I'm not going to spend money at Starbucks and you shouldn't either. And then she waved bye to everyone and Starbucks is still trying to placate her. They're still trying to placate the progressives and the socialists and the communists. There's literally no point. There's no point. And so that's what I was trying to say to Joanne. Joe, why are you still doing this? Why are you guys in the business community still playing this game? They're never going to treat you like a friend. They're never going to treat businesses with any level of respect. So don't treat them with respect because they do not deserve it. And then you continue to have this narrative about, you know, oh, the problems in Seattle, they're this like amorphous blob's fault. It's like this indistinguishable someone's fault, usually Orange Man Bad. But if they can't find a legitimate way to blame Orange Man Bad, they're just like, oh, somebody out there did this. Not like the party that's been in power for 45 years. Congressman Pramila Jayapal, whose district represents like Seattle, right? She put this out. Yes, your rent went up. Seattle rents are up over 45% in the last 15 years, and wages haven't kept pace. Homelessness is a policy failure, not an inevitability. We know what works. We just have to fight for it. Ma'am, how long have you been the member of Congress representing Seattle? How long has your party had almost complete control? Seattle hasn't elected a Republican mayor in like 50 plus years. Washington State hasn't had a Republican governor in 45. They've had almost universal control of the legislature for the last 24 years. Who do you blame for this? Not to mention that in the last 15 years, Seattle's minimum wage has grown exponentially. But these are, when she says homelessness is a policy failure, not an inevitability, we know what works. If you know what works, why aren't you doing it? If you know what works, why aren't you doing it? Why isn't your party doing it? If it's a policy failure, who's in... homelessness is a policy failure. All right, I agree. Who's in charge of the policy? Who's creating the policy? You and your friends and your political party. And nothing will change until normie Democrats decide, you know what, our party's not doing a great job. We need to demand better of the candidates that we run. I don't care who you vote. I don't care if you vote for a Republican or a Democrat. That's not what this show is about. It's about voting for people who want government to work and actually care about outcomes. And there are Democrats like that. There are, Mark Mullett would have been a great option for governor. There are absolutely Democrats like that in the city of Seattle. Former Seattle Council President Sarah Nelson. Business background. What'd you do to her? You voted her out of office. It's insane. I don't know. It's just like you like failure because you just want to just bask in sorrow or have something to like rail at Donald Trump over, even though it's not his fault. I don't know what it is. It's the most bizarre thing. Stop voting for these people. Stop voting for these people. We can do better. We can do better. That segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. All right, we'll get to our segment, Unbelievable, an update on an Olympia teacher who held a sign saying, "This teacher kills fascists." Well, it turns out, as that maybe gave you a clue, he's not a very good guy, maybe a tad bit creepy. We'll get to that in our segment, Unbelievable. First, summer's right around the corner, although this morning was beautiful. I needed it this morning. Nicole knows I've been a little stressed about all this. It's just a lot. All I want to do is the show. I just want to come in. I want to do the show. I want to talk about the news. I don't want to have interpersonal drama. So anyway, I took a nice walk with the dog this morning. Oh my gosh, the breeze was like skin temperature. You know when you stand out, sorry, Valentine, I'll get to your ad read in a moment. You know when you stand outside and you almost feel nothing because the air is the same temperature as your body?
Perfection.
Feels like you're back in the womb, you know? And I was just like, I don't remember what the womb felt like, but I was just like standing in the middle of the street like, yes, it was so nice. Anyway, what was I talking about? Yeah, summer's right around the corner. I need a vacation already. Summer's right around the corner. And if you have some work you need done to the exterior of your home, maybe you just need your roof cleaned, inspected. Maybe you need a new roof. Gutters cleaned. Exterior of your house pressure washed. Wouldn't that be nice before you have friends in the backyard for a barbecue and they're looking at your house being like, disgusting. Look at all that filth on your house. Especially judgmental in-laws. You don't need that. And right now, you can get priority scheduling with Valentine Roofing. If you schedule right now, they can still fit you in within 3 weeks to get some of this work done. And you can lock in your price, which is important because what's happening in Iran is driving up the cost of goods. So lock in your price now. Call 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING. Schedule your free estimate, lock in your price now, and just get this stuff done before you have guests over for the summer and want to lounge in your backyard and support the businesses that support us. You know what's really nice? You can come away from this. 206 Roofing. Woke up today to texts from three of our advertisers. The other ones, where were my texts from you? Saying, hang in there, Brandy. We're not going anywhere. Because, I mean, you experienced this with Dory.
Yes.
Some of the first ways they try to come after you is through your advertisers.
Right.
They'll spam the advertiser websites. They'll call. They'll harass. Mm-hmm. And they'll try to shame advertisers into dropping your show. And like that, it would be a big deal. I mean, there's a lot of hits we can take. Advertising hits would be much more difficult to sort of make up because, you know, you have a bunch of subscribers. And let's say you get a couple of you who are mad at me on any given day, and which this happened, and you drop your subscriptions. Like, that sucks. I don't want to lose anybody, but the $5 a month subscriptions are easier to make up than advertising revenue. We only carry 5 advertisers at once. And so if you lose one or two, like, that could be it.
Yeah.
And so when I say when we sign with advertisers, you have to be Teflon. Teflon. We had an advertiser who came to us about the time you came, because Dory had passed away, and a lot of our advertisers are from Dory's show. And this was one of the advertisers who, when Dory, there was this whole controversy around him saying that boys aren't girls. Jeez, the same thing they tried to cancel Dory over, this just came to me.
Oh, yeah.
The same thing they tried to cancel Dory over and ruin his life is what they're trying to cancel me over and ruin my life over.
Same issue.
It's the same thing. Oh, my God, I just thought of that. Boys, for the love of, they've been doing this for years. And that was like 2019, 2020 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, these people are unhinged. Anyway, there was an advertiser, I am so far afield, who came to us after Dory passed away, mm-hmm. and they wanted to advertise on the show. But they were one of the ones that left him, that pulled during that whole controversy. And I said, no. And I said I was surprised they were even asking. I was like, my opinion on that issue especially has gone well beyond anything Dory ever said.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you wouldn't ride or die with him. I'm not going to ride or die with you. And you're not going to end up ride or dying with me. You're just going to flee when something happens. So anyway, I woke up to nice texts from 3 of our advertisers this morning saying, we've got your back.
Yep.
Like, keep persisting. No big deal. Yeah.
Some of the same ones right. that the were ones like, who, ride or die.
Right. Yeah. Wes Jones, sell mm-hmm. with Wes.
First Mark
Insurance.
Valentine
Roofing. Mm-hmm. Bulwark Capital.
Yep.
Bulwark. Text
actually
from 3 of them,
yeah, pretty much
saying,
all of them.
Hey, yeah, we've got a couple who aren't, but yeah, saying hey, and they were the ones who stayed with Dory when they tried to mm-hmm. cancel him over the radical gender ideology mm-hmm. stuff. So, sorry, not only was yesterday one of our best in 5 years single days for new paid subscriptions, but our advertisers aren't going anywhere, they're not going anywhere. So, kick rocks, Pam. Kick rocks, Pam, with your ugly haircut.
Of all the issues, this 80-20 issue, crazy. I don't understand it. If it was something that
I don't know.
Was more divided in the country, you know, it's the same thing with the voting and
yeah.
and voter ID. I don't know why voter ID and gender are their two biggest issues.
Yeah.
When they're the most 80-20 issues.
Yeah, but no, it's I mean, crazy. That's why. The smartest thing we did is make sure our advertisers society. Were Teflon. Mm-hmm. And that they were going to ride or die mm-hmm. and stick with us even in the face. Because let's be honest, these unhinged people who think boys are girls, they don't have a house. They're not looking for a new roof. They're mm-hmm. not looking for a wealth investor. You know, come on. So anyway, tangent. Let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. All right, Olympia High School English teacher Ryan Akiyama, you might remember him because he did this, like, I think it was a bike ride or a marathon or something, and strapped to him was this sign. This teacher kills fascists, he said on Instagram, flying this little flag on my hydration pack during the Leavenworth Sky Race this weekend. Might need to print it on a t-shirt next for all my fellow woke DEI educators still showing up with courage and care. Yes, I'm woke. Yes, I teach DEI. No, I'm not sorry if that triggers the willfully ignorant. And as I pointed out, him, and we went back in some of his previous social media posts, the problem with that, because people be like, what's wrong with killing fascists, Brandy? Do you love fascists? It's like, no, he thinks fascists are anybody who disagrees with him politically. He thinks fascists are run-of-the-mill Republicans and people who voted for Donald Trump. So he, as an educator, is suggesting that you should kill them. And I know it's the play on some phrase from a guitar. It doesn't matter. He's an educator. We're in a heightened political environment, and he thinks fascists are run-of-the-mill Republicans. So we had called him out for that. But it turns out this guy has a lot of other issues that have popped up within the school district. So our friend Alicia Perkins, again, at OSD Rescue, runs a Substack called OSD Rescue. Fantastic education reporting. She did an update. Olympia High School teacher accused of sexual harassment remains on leave. So you might recall, after he got some notoriety for this teacher kills fascist thing, there was also some kind of complaints happening around the same time that he was being creepy toward students. Alicia says, Olympia High School English teacher Ryan Akiyama reportedly remains on administrative leave almost a year after both student and parent complaints prompted a third-party investigation into allegations of sexual harassment, a hostile classroom environment, disparate grading treatment, and violations of professional boundaries with students. The final report details years of student complaints and prior disciplinary history. So this, the kind of newest part of this is that this report has come out detailing what it found, and the findings aren't good for him. But for instance, there is a, this is one of the emails that was sent in 2025, complaining about Mr. Akiyama's treatment of students. Like, he would give nicknames. So he says, a student alleged that Akiyama made unsolicited comments about her appearance, including rating her on a scale of 1 to 10, provided preferential treatment on assignments, engaged in one-on-one discussions about their relationship, and initiated unwanted conversations about student nicknames for him, including Freakyama and Diddyama. Like, he wanted students to, like, call him these things. So anyway, parents had complained. They said that their student shared that Mr. Akiyama made several complaints about, or compliments, comments about her appearance, including rating her outfits, making personal remarks that had made her feel extremely uncomfortable. Additionally, he appears to give her preferential treatment, granted special exceptions not extended to other students. These actions have made her feel uneasy and singled out. She's been afraid to report them out of concern that her grade could be negatively impacted. So all that popped up. So this launches this third-party investigation into his conduct. And remember, he already had problems. He previously was in the Yelm School District, and he got a DUI in possession of a deadly weapon, I believe. And they still transferred him over to Olympia and hired him there. So the final report on all of this, it's been concluded, made three significant findings for the Olympia School District. So investigators concluded that Ryan Akiyama lied during the investigation on multiple occasions, including denying that he had previously been investigated, denying prior discipline in Yelm, and allegedly providing false information on his employment application to the Olympia School District. Investigators also found that Akiyama engaged in sexual harassment, concluding that three students were sexually harassed in his classroom. Investigators also concluded that he failed to maintain appropriate professional boundaries with students, listing 14 separate accounts. Now, who do you think, as part of this investigative document that came out, who do you think he blames for all of this?
Well, and Alicia, the woman of the day.
He blames conservatives. He says that when that picture came out of him with the "this teacher kills fascists," that it started a conservative campaign of retribution against him. So he essentially blames Alicia, me, and conservative parents. He says they just concocted all of this and what had their kids concoct it and made it all up just to make him lose his job, which, by the way, he hasn't lost his job yet. He's been on paid administrative leave for more than a year. That's the power of the teachers' union. It's
infuriating.
It's crazy. And yeah, take no accountability. Oh, the conservatives did this to me. Sure, Mr. Akiyama, whatever you say. And yes, we are aware of this story with the new Seattle Education Association president is already on leave for an investigation that existed when she was elected. Oh, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We just had so much on the show today. We wanted to give people a chance to respond to some things. All right, we'll get to national news coming up next and our show poll, etc. First, if you are worried about what's happening in Iran and oil prices, etc., totally valid. Our friend Zach Abraham is having a free Impact of Energy live webinar. It's coming up May 21st, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Zach's going to explain how every market right now is driven by energy. He's going to explain the impact energy has on inflation, how that could potentially affect your retirement plan. Plus, of course, he'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Impact of Energy webinar, May 21st, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, totally free. Register right now, knowyourriskpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to Zach's daily podcast on YouTube, follow him across social media. Again, knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right, white guilt kills, white guilt kills. This is not a surprise, but this is this toxic empathy, suicidal empathy, where it's like, as white guilt, oh my gosh, you know, I can't be part of putting a black man in prison. And then the black man goes and kills somebody. And well, literally homicidal empathy at that point. So this is from the New York Post. So you've probably seen this by now, the guy who shoved an elderly man on the subway and killed him, like shoved him in front of a train and killed him. So he, and not a surprise, another example of the rotating criminal justice system, but it gets even worse than that. So a couple things. It says the grinning maniac, referring, this is from the New York Post, charged with fatally shoving a 76-year-old retired teacher down a Manhattan subway stairs, was once a talented Broadway dancer who fell off the deep end during the pandemic, a pal told the Post. Ramil Burke, 32, posed for pics with movie stars and was in the cast of the mega flop King Kong on Broadway years before police say he randomly pushed a beloved ex-educator, Ross Falzone, down a flight of stairs. Or sorry, it wasn't in front of a train. It was down a flight of stairs at a Chelsea subway station last week. Deeply disturbing surveillance footage of Thursday's vicious assault shows Falzone calmly walking into the 18th Street subway station when his attacker walks up behind him, shoves him with both hands down the concrete stairs without warning. And he ended up dying as a result. He was rushed to Bellevue Hospital, but he was pronounced dead from a head injury. So here's something that's really interesting. It says one of his past victims, because this isn't isolated, he's been arrested 4 times in the past 4 months. It says one of his past victims, a 23-year-old woman, told the Post that Burke assaulted her and her friend on the subway just last month. He allegedly grabbed her, tried to slam her to the ground, and kicked her friend in the back. Okay. All of that led to an assault charge and supervised release, putting a dangerous and unstable person back on the street. The victim said she declined to cooperate with prosecutors, but regrets her choice. She said, quote, maybe a part of me was just like, I don't want to put another black man in jail. So she declined to cooperate with prosecutors, likely led to this sweetheart sort of plea where he's back out on the streets and then he pushes this elderly man down the stairs.
And that's his face in court.
Yep. Toxic. Ugh. Toxic, suicidal empathy. And it is so common. I'm working on a story about this. There was this, it's horrible. There's like, we didn't talk about it on the show this week yet, this 19-year-old transgender person murdered at the University of Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're looking for the suspect still. I don't think they've found the suspect. And it seems to be a random sort of a random attack in the sense that not like from someone they knew or a
targeted at a trans.
We don't know that.
We're not
right?
sure, but he was no apparently idea. Creeping people out for weeks.
Yeah. The attacker, right?
The attacker.
Mm-hmm. And so this trans individual was in like a laundry room, right? Mm-hmm. So horrible. Very possible it's related to them looking transgender or whatever it is. Maybe. We don't know yet, right? They're trying to find it. But I couldn't help but notice how different the media coverage is when the victim is trans versus when the suspect is trans. Mm-hmm. When the suspect in a violent crime, murder, rape, whatever it is transgender, they don't tell you. They'll use their preferred pronouns, they'll respect it, and they'll move on, and you might not even know. They'll blame oftentimes violent crime on a woman. Oh, woman accused of murdering 2 people, slicing her head off her parents, or whatever it is. It's like, no, that was a dude who thinks they're a woman. And so they leave it out every time. Every headline with the UW thing was trans person murdered, trans person murdered. Right. Which I'm not opposed to that, because if that is a motivator in the crime, that's fine. But you can't leave it out. You can't have it both ways. You can't act like, oh, no, nothing to see here when a trans person commits a violent crime. And then make it the central part of the story when they're the victim of a violent crime.
Yeah, although I will say they are careful not to say that this could be hate motivated or anything else, because I think he's a black male that killed her.
Yeah, it sounds like the suspect's a black male. So now they're caught.
Now they're like, oh no.
What do we do?
Let's not assume it's hate because he's a black guy, but let's just point it out in case.
They're really caught, right? But mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's horrible what happened at the University of Washington.
Awful.
So maybe we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But I just noticed that disparity in how they cover things. It's like either you acknowledge somebody is transgender or you don't, not depending mm-hmm. on if they're the victim or the suspect. All right, we'll get to our subscriber. Well, actually, let's just do our subscriber poll right now. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. I asked you guys because we're coming right off that segment. Let's go Washington. Letsgowa.com. Letsgowa.com. They, no, that's okay.
Oh, you did it inappropriate.
Letsgowa.com Have I mentioned that? They announced this morning that they are going to start the signature gathering process for the initiative to repeal the income tax. So I asked you guys, do you plan to sign it? Do you plan to sign? Nicole, I know the answer for you.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Let's see here. My computer is not letting me look at your answers. Here it is. Okay, 100% on local say, yeah, I'm going to sign it. 100%. That's a little surprising because
are you going to do the work and get other people to sign as well? Are you going
to? I can't undo the poll.
I know.
Oh, we have 1% on Patreon that say I'm not signing it. 1%. Son Miller says least controversial poll ever. Pat says 100%. What affects one will affect us all and sooner than we think. I mean, I thought there was some possibility that people were like, yeah, I'm never going to pay it, so why not? But I mean, it is going to be the easiest initiative to raise signatures for. Papa Woody, absolutely. And I'll be receiving some to help fill out as well. I'm on the frequent mailers list. Breon says, I'm going to sign and collect signatures. Well, we hope you come to, I don't know. I'm assuming Let's Go will be fine with me hosting a big super signer event just to shove it in the face of the lunatics. But we hope you come to that one. Rhonda says, please let us know where we can sign and tell others as well. James, this will be my first time trying to collect signatures for an initiative. That's awesome. We love that for you. Way to get involved. I love when people are getting involved. All right, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. One of the people I got a very nice, yay, hang in there text from today. Thanks, buddy. There's a lot of homes going on the market right now, especially homes owned by wealthy people because they want to leave. No matter how many times Senator Jamie Peterson says there aren't rich people fleeing, it's very obviously not true. So when there's more homes on the market, obviously that can change the calculation a little bit. And you might have to put a little more effort into getting your home ready for sale or expect it to take a little bit longer, but maybe not. You got to have the right person in your corner. Jim H. says 5 stars for Wes. He says, we packed our bags, hit the road to a new state, but we jump at the chance to work with Wes again in a heartbeat. A giant shout out to Abby for her incredible support, unwavering dedication and tireless effort. Together, they turned our long distance deal into a breezy walk in the park from beginning to end. So go from sellwithwes.com to soldwithwes.com. He'll help you navigate this constantly changing market, give you a sense of what they've been able to achieve for other clients, and do a down to the neighborhood market analysis so you can set your expectations of what the home sale, how long it might take, what you may be able to get for it, etc. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, as normal, you guys are just showering us with financial love in the live stream. We absolutely appreciate it. Tech Pew Guy says $100 for the Slam Pam Fund contribution.
Oh, I like that.
Pam, we're going to sue you out of house, home, glasses, and Karen haircut. It's going to be great. Yes, this is very nice of you guys. Thank you. And look, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. I do
just
my stress
be a big pain in the ass.
I do my stress thing before we get on the show where pace around and I'm like, it's fine. it's just stuff we don't want to deal with. Like I said, we just want to come on. We want to put on a good, factual, informative, entertaining show and go home at night and not worry about being stabbed in the face, you know?
Who are these people?
Now I'm really fired up because they tried to cancel Dory for the same thing. And I just hadn't even thought of that. It hadn't even crossed my mind.
It is their cause.
We're uncancelable.
I don't understand it.
Literally uncancelable.
0.000 of the population. They're willing to make other people's lives miserable.
Nobody wants Pam's loins, Brandy. The haircut on that woman is a sign of instability. I'm sure of it. Usually I don't like being mean, but in this case, I'll make an exception. Moon Goddess, how flattering they think of your opinions, political views, thoughts, and words, that they're worth millions. Thank you for assigning such a high value to my political opinions. It's really nice. Lancelot says, all the propaganda is pointless. We knowingly do not submit. Haynes, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Very nice. Stacey Mayer, infuriating. Can we add up all the free leftist promos from the Seattle Times? How about local TV outlets? Exactly. That's why it's so stupid. Yes. Buzz Brown, suppress the opposition and you're the most dangerous to their agenda. Yeah. Matt says that he volunteers to bring pulled pork to our, because Matt's just an expert grill slash Smoker. I was trying to think of what it was called. Smoker.
Smoker.
And he did one time bring some food for everyone at a signature gathering event. So he says that he'll bring the pulled pork unless it's considered an in-kind contribution. Mm-hmm. Yes. Dark Lily says, we need to put an LG Wah like signature counter in the corner of the screen that's like just always there, just ticking. We're going to find some good ways to continue to troll them. It'll be amazing. Alice Marie, there has to be some incentives to create businesses talking about Howard Schultz blasting Seattle leaders, thus creating jobs so that your employees can make and spend money. Why would anyone want to do it in this climate? Right. And that's the idea in Tennessee, where they're giving, I think it's a $4,200 tax credit per high paying job. We tax high paying jobs here. They give them a tax credit. That's a no brainer. Let's see, Robin, on the teacher. Why is he on admin leave? He should not be receiving a paycheck. When he was found guilty, he should be ordered to pay back every penny.
Yes, yeah. True. He should.
He should. Let's see, De Pluribus Unum, starting a bulletproof vest fund for Brandy. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't need a bulletproof vest. Papa Woody, could Brandy, Nicole, and Miranda take a shot for my birthday on air? Not today.
Today? No.
I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared, not prepared for it. I'll take, well, here, I've got a shot of espresso. Here's to your birthday.
Sorry, I don't have a shot of espresso over here.
Oh, it's strong. It's real strong. All right, good comments per the usual. And thanks for your support. Again, we had in 5 years, and I don't, some of it's probably because we're offering a promo right now, but it was like nonstop new subscribers yesterday. So we appreciate your support. And I think it's part of, look, there's a reason they're targeting us and not anyone else. Like, there are other people who do what I do, who get advertisers, who promote things, and they're not doing this big dog and pony show. And it's because, and they say it in their thing, you know, like, we're the most consequential political influencers in the state. That's because you guys have been with us since the beginning. Mm-hmm. You've helped us grow the show. You've shared our content. We all believe in trying to save the state. And I don't think that they've been met with resistance before. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to see what even small resistance looks like. And it's not just us. I mean, Let's Go Washington is the primary target. They're just using me as a vessel to target Let's Go Washington. So you have this entity. I need a counter. That's right. That's what they want the counter for. How many times I mentioned Let's Go Washington on the show. They have this entity that's sprung up that can run an initiative like this and overturn all their policies and all the money that comes in. That's a new threat for them, and they're panicking over it. You have all these other things that are, I mean, we're ambassadors for, like Project 42. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's trying to put together an infrastructure to sort of push back against the prevailing political view. That's new for them. They're like, we have to ruin all these people by any means necessary. Right. So that's what we're seeing. We're seeing them panic.
It's a reminder. Help Let's Go Washington too.
Yeah.
Because Brian can't do it alone. I mean, he's rich, but this is costing him a lot.
Well, yeah, and he's dealing with the same stressors I am. Absolutely. Even if you're rich, it's no fun to have people come after you with lawfare. It's no fun to just throw good money after something that's not going to result in anything. It's no fun to be vilified and targeted and attacked. And all of those like safety threats that we worry about, he has to worry about too. So just because he's got way more money doesn't make him any more difficult to target or harass. So yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do I think I'm going to scrap the sanity check I have and just chat with you guys in a second. But first, a whole bunch of you had taken the First Mark challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. And I am so proud that they have saved you guys a ton of money. Some of you thousands of dollars a year. There is nothing I like better than hearing that one of our advertisers saved you a boatload of money. And the same for Mike and I. When we did our renewal this year, they saved us a couple grand and we didn't have to lift a finger. And that's really nice because I know whenever it comes up for renewal, you're like, oh gosh, my insurance rate's going to go up and what's happening in the market? And then they're like, good news, we saved you money. I'm like, that's awesome. I love that, especially with gas prices so high. So go to firstmarkinsurance.com, take the First Mark challenge. It's totally free. All they'll do is look over your current insurance, talk to you a bit about your insurance needs, go out, shop shop their market of carriers. They're, of course, going to want to make sure you have good, sound insurance that's going to cover you in the event that the unthinkable happens. But they always have an eye on price and trying to save you money and trying to lower costs. And that goes for your personal insurance or your business. I use FirstMark for my business as well. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. They always have your best interests in mind. And with that, let's go to our closing sanity check. Why not do a shameless promo for the show at a time such as this? I am incredibly grateful, not just for people who sign up to support the show, you know, in light of these attacks, but people who are sending nice messages. I've never had to deal with a situation that's coming at me from so many angles. And I feel like we're equipped to handle it for the most part. It's stressful. It is what it is. But again, none of it, no matter, even if they got me to give up, even if they got me to close down shop and move to Florida, even if they killed me, even if they took my very breath, boys still aren't girls. They'll never win at the end of the day because they can't change reality. They can't change truth. They can try to bully you and threaten you into saying what you want, what they want you to say, but this is a fight they cannot win. Because they can't change biology. They can't change reality. And I think that's why they've become so vicious. Because they realize that no matter what they do, they'll never be able to change that simple truth. And with that, support our show. Because we will never lie to you. Patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30 for 30% off an entire year. If they thought that they were going to quiet us, they're just making us, like, money this week. Getting us, helping us spread our content, helping us grow our show. Stupid. Backfired, didn't it, Evil. Pammy? Backfired, didn't it, Pam? Your pom-pom haircut. It's just not going to be a great day for you. And look, since we don't condone any sort of violent rhetoric on this show, I think that's clear. So when you email Pam on her City of Sammamish email, no one send any threatening language. That's not what we do. But I would let her know you're very disappointed with her attacks on the First Amendment. And if you feel like saying something about her haircut, I'm fine with that too, honestly. But nothing violent, of course. I do not stand for that. I will not tolerate that on my behalf. Is that enough, Nicole? Is that enough of a disclaimer?
I think that's good.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow.